It's been said before that faith is like sitting in a chair. You can imagine a chair in front of you and you can see the chair and you know exactly what that chair is designed to do. But until you actually sit down in that chair for yourself, all you can do is believe that it's going to hold you up, right? Because you haven't experienced it yet. Now, some chairs look well-made. They're sturdy, the type of thing John Brown would build. You know it's gonna hold you. Maybe you've even seen someone else sit in that chair, and you know, well, it held that person up, and so I feel reassured that it's gonna hold me as well. You could study the chair, you could measure it, you could read the manufacturer's warranty and know for sure this is a well-made chair. You can gather all sorts of data, but until you actually sit down in that chair, there is still a sense of faith that you have to have that if I sit in that chair, it's not going to fall apart under me. What if somebody brought you a crooked chair that's missing one leg? Or what if somebody brought you a chair and said, oh, it's a very good chair, but you look closely at it and you realize that chair is missing several screws that seem important to the integrity of the chair itself. Or what if somebody brought you a chair that was made entirely out of Jell-O? Takes a lot more faith to sit in a chair like that. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if our faith in Jesus were as simple as sitting down in a nice, sturdy chair? Something we do all the time, and we just take on faith that it's going to hold us up. For most of us, there are times when our chair of faith seems to be a little bit wobbly. Or you might even have friends in your life who say to you, I wouldn't sit in that chair if I were you. That chair doesn't look real to me. Do you ever doubt? I don't mean do you ever reject God or denounce Jesus or become an atheist or want to burn all your Bibles. I don't mean that type of doubt. I'm sure there are people who you know or you've heard about who have that sort of doubt in their hearts. But what I mean is, do you ever struggle to trust God completely? This type of doubt, it's not a sin, but it is a problem. And I think it's a problem that every Christian at some point in our lives, maybe often, maybe for long seasons of our lives, we all struggle with this sort of doubt. From time to time, we struggle to believe as deeply and as faithfully as we would like to. And so this morning we're going to talk about overcoming doubt. And we're going to read a story of a person in the New Testament who is synonymous with doubt. If I say the word doubt and you're thinking in the context of the Bible, I'm sure there is a name that's already come into your minds. I think maybe unfairly, and we'll talk about that a little bit today. But this story takes place shortly after Jesus' resurrection. And we read it in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And in those final words, Jesus offers a blessing over us, because I've never seen Jesus. I don't think any of you have either. We've not seen, but we have believed. So Thomas is often known as Doubting Thomas, which I think is both an unfair and an unhelpful nickname for poor Thomas. I think it's unfair because Thomas was actually a person of faith. Thomas was one of the disciples, one of the 12, not Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Thomas was one of the faithful 11 left after Judas's betrayal. He followed Jesus all through his ministry. He was with Jesus in the upper room. Thomas' feet were washed by Jesus himself. After the resurrection, Thomas became a leader in the early church. It's also unfair because of what Thomas says in the passage that we just read. You know, we think of doubting Thomas. Thomas didn't have faith. Thomas doubted. Yes, for those few days he did struggle to believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. But then when he saw Jesus face to face, Thomas becomes the first person that we know of after the resurrection to say that Jesus is God, which is a foundational theological concept in the Christian faith. In fact, I would say you can't be a follower of Jesus. You can't have true faith in the Christian New Testament sense without believing what Thomas was the first one to confess, that Jesus is God. So it's not really fair to say that Thomas is a doubter, that that's how we should remember Thomas best. What I also don't like about that nickname is that it's unhelpful for us. For us who also struggle with doubt. Yes, Thomas struggled to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, which is a very hard thing to believe if you haven't seen the evidence of it. He wanted that evidence. He wanted the reassurance that his friend, this man he had spent the last several years with, he wanted that physical proof that he was in fact alive. And that moment of doubt, those few days of doubt, should not define Thomas's life any more than my moments of doubt or your moments of doubt should define your life or your faith or my faith. You see, the truth is we all doubt. We all struggle to believe as completely and fully as we would like to. And that's why Thomas's story matters to us. That's why we can relate to him, why we can understand what he was feeling in those moments. And it's why we shouldn't just dismiss him as something less than a believer, just as I don't dismiss you, or you don't dismiss me, I hope, for my moments of doubt as something less than a genuine follower of Jesus. You see, I think I can say with confidence that everyone in this room today, all of us, have experienced those moments, those seasons of doubt when you might struggle to believe, whether it's certain passages of Scripture, certain aspects of who God is, moments when you struggle because of what you're dealing with in your own life, that maybe God's abandoned me, maybe God isn't hearing my prayers, those moments when you struggle with the faith that is in fact real in your life. You are in fact a follower of Jesus, and yet you struggle to believe as fully and as completely as you would like. We can of course doubt all sorts of things, but for our purposes this morning, I want to talk about two particular types of doubts that are common to followers of Jesus. Types of doubt that arise in our hearts and minds, and again, I think these are common for all of us. The first is what I'll call experiential doubt, and maybe this is kind of where Thomas was. But this is doubting God's presence and promises in your life. In other words, you're experiencing something in your own personal life, your inner life, or maybe there's something going on around you in your family or your job or whatever it is. And as you struggle with that thing, it feels like God's not as close as He used to be. And you might begin to doubt God's presence. For instance, do you ever ask, And this is the sort of thing you probably don't ever ask out loud. Do you ever ask, does God care what I'm going through? Do you ever ask, does God really hear my prayers? Is God really good? This type of doubt usually comes during these hard moments when we're burdened, when we're stressed, when we're weak because of what we're going through, and you wonder if God's going to be there to help you through whatever that is you're experiencing. I think every believer has moments like this, which does not mean that you have lost your faith in Jesus. And I think Thomas's story needs to reassure us of that. Thomas, because he doubted for those few days after the resurrection, doesn't mean that he stopped following Jesus. Doesn't mean that he was condemned forever to spend eternity away from God. These sorts of doubts are moments when you struggle to trust, when you find yourself down in that valley of darkness and you can't quite see the light to find your way out, but it doesn't mean that your faith has gone away completely. In fact, the Psalms are filled with passages that remind us in the midst of faith, we can also have mingled in there in our hearts some doubts, some struggles. And here are some Psalms, some lines from Psalms that may echo what you feel in your own heart sometimes. Psalm 22, why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Something that David wrote about his relationship with God. Psalm 27, do not hide your face from me. Do not reject me or forsake me. Psalm 83, O God, do not be silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do you ever feel that way? God, where have you gone? Why don't you hear my prayers? Why can't I feel your presence around me? These are honest expressions of hearts that struggle to believe, and we're all there sometimes. We long for God to come again and prove His presence, His power, and His promises are real in our lives. So that's one sort of doubt that we experience. Another kind of doubt is theological doubt, and that is when you sort of doubt whether God's Word, particular passages or maybe big concepts in the Bible, whether God's Word is actually true. So you might think, well, like Thomas, did Jesus really rise from the dead? I mean, that sounds hard to believe, right? Did Jesus really come back from the dead? Is the Bible really true? Did Jesus actually heal people? Did he really perform all those miracles we read about? I mean, again, these are hard things to believe. And there are times when we may doubt that. You might even doubt in terms of your own understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. And you might think, well, am I really going to go to heaven? Is my faith really real? And we struggle with these questions. We struggle with them even while we still, deep down in our hearts, accept that Jesus is our Savior. Just as Thomas had a hard time believing that Jesus came back from the dead because he loved Jesus and he saw him die and his friend was taken away. It's not that Thomas turned his back on Jesus. It's not that he rejected Jesus. He just couldn't fathom how someone could come back from the dead until he saw it with his own eyes. And we can have these questions. We can have these doubts even while being genuine, born again believers, like the man who cried out to Jesus as he was asking Jesus to help his son. His son was demon possessed, and the father is asking Jesus for help, and he says to Jesus, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And I think that captures where many of us are, where we all are sometimes. I do believe, God. Help me to overcome those parts of my heart that are struggling to believe. Help me to overcome those areas of my life where I or I don't believe as much as I should. You see, doubt like this is not a sin. And it doesn't mean that you're not really a Christian. The Spirit wants to help you to overcome these sorts of doubt. The Spirit wants to help us to build up our faith, just as Jesus came and He showed Thomas the nail holes in His hands. Jesus didn't reject Thomas. Oh, well, Thomas, you were too slow to believe. Sorry, Thomas, see you later. No, Jesus came and He miraculously entered into that room, though the doors were locked, and He stood there before Thomas and He said, "Look, Thomas, believe. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus wants us to overcome the doubts in our hearts. And so the Spirit says to us, just as Jesus said to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And that's not a rebuke, it's an encouragement. Overcome your doubt so that your belief can grow and become stronger, so that your faith can become more sure in your heart. And so as we look at Thomas' story, I want to help us to find some ways that we can overcome doubt. And I hope these will help you as you struggle with faith. Whatever those struggles might be in your heart, I hope these ways of overcoming doubt can be an encouragement to you. So we begin with this, that you can overcome doubt by reading the inspiring and truthful words of Scripture. In other words, the Bible itself, even if you're struggling to believe some of what the Bible says, don't stop reading Scripture. Instead, read more. And find in the words of Scripture encouragement and inspiration. And I think as you read Scripture more and more, you will find there not only truth about God, but you'll find the consistency of the revelation of who God is. In other words, from beginning to end, the Bible tells the same story about the same God. And we see how God shows up in people's lives and how He picks them up in dark moments and how the people of the Bible, real people who lived long ago, struggled with their faith. And struggled with difficulties in their lives, but God showed up and encouraged them and helped them through. And we find there in Scripture those encouragements. To me, Thomas's story is reassuring. He doubted, yes. He wanted proof. But then when Thomas saw Jesus face to face, he believed. And Jesus led Thomas through his doubt and then reaffirmed his faith, which is exactly what God wants to do in our lives. Thomas's story, like many stories in Scripture, can inspire us through our own moments of doubt. We read about the heroes and the heroines of faith, and these people were not perfect. They did struggle at times. Again, you read through the Psalms, and here's King David, a man of great faith, a man after God's own heart, and yet he struggled at times. God, where are you? Why have you left me all alone? God, do you hear my prayers? And then God did show up. And God did lift David up out of those moments. You see, the same God who gave Esther courage to stand up to the king, we read her story a couple of weeks ago. The same God who protected Joseph, we read about Joseph last week, through all those years of slavery, God protected and watched over him. The same God who sent Jesus to love us and save us, that same God is with you during your hard moments. And so as we read these stories in Scripture, our souls begin to recognize God's voice speaking to us and reassuring us and saying, stop doubting and believe. And so Scripture can be that inspiring, reassuring voice that we need to remember to listen to. In times of doubt, we also need to remember that we're not alone. So you can overcome doubt by listening to the faithful voices of other believers. Because you don't walk through faith alone, and this gathering today is evidence of that. A room filled with people who desire to walk with Jesus, not alone, but together. Together as a family of faith. Now, Thomas struggled with doubt after the resurrection, but notice even from the story, he didn't struggle alone. The disciples came to him. They had already seen Jesus. Thomas wasn't there. And so they said to him, "Thomas, hey, great news. We've seen Jesus. He's alive." And Thomas struggled to believe that. So what did the disciples do for Thomas? Well, they didn't kick him out of the house. "Oh, get out of here, Thomas. We don't want to see you again." No, they maintained that fellowship. And they encouraged him. And a week passed, and Thomas was still right there with the disciples. Even though he was struggling, even though he was going through this moment of spiritual crisis in his heart, he was supported by his friends. He was held close by that church family until he received that assurance that he needed from Jesus. And I hope that we can feel that same support here in our church family. You may have moments of doubt, but that doesn't disqualify you from the church. It doesn't mean that your brothers and sisters here are going to judge you and ridicule you and kick you out. And, oh, if you don't believe perfectly every moment of your life and never express any doubt, if you can't sign on the dotted line for every exact thing that everyone else believes, that we're going to just throw you out of the fellowship. We all struggle at times. And so we support each other through those struggles. We encourage one another. And I can encourage you just as you someday may need to encourage me. And we do that for each other because we all walk together in faith. You might be struggling to see God's goodness today. You might be wondering if God hears your prayers. You might even be wondering if God has left you all alone. And as you pray, maybe God's not hearing you and it might become difficult for you to pray at all. And in moments like that, your brothers and sisters can pray for you. And we can believe on your behalf during your moments of weakness. And we can give you strength. And then someday you can return the favor. Because that's what the church family does for one another. Another way that the Spirit can help us in moments of doubt is that you can overcome doubt by remembering moments of closeness with God. And this is the Spirit's work in our hearts to recall, to bring back into our memories those moments when we did feel close to God, those moments when God did answer our prayers, those moments when we read Scripture and it was though God was speaking right into our hearts. And it's those moments, those memories that then can sustain us during our dark moments, during our moments of struggle, so that we can look ahead and see that, yes, one day I'm going to come out of this and I'm going to feel that full sense of faith and strength and spiritual closeness again. Faith may begin with what we learn, what we accept to be true about God, but our faith grows from what we experience as we walk with God, as we spend our lives with God's people, as we pray and worship and read God's Word, as we experience His presence in our lives, our faith grows. And for Thomas, it was Jesus holding out His hands to show those nail marks there. It was that moment that changed Thomas's heart. That his doubt went away and his faith returned and he said, "My Lord and my God, yes, Jesus, I believe fully and completely who you are." And I'm sure that memory of that experience with Jesus seeing the nail holes in his hands, that sustained Thomas through the rest of his life. Not that the rest of his life was perfect. I'm sure there are moments again when Thomas struggled, just like we all do, but he could look back on that moment and say, "I remember when Jesus was standing right there in front of me." Now, you and I haven't touched the resurrected Jesus. We haven't seen Him in the flesh. But we can look back in our own lives on moments when the Spirit was near to us, when God answered prayers, when God gave us peace in the midst of sorrow or difficulty or uncertainty. We can look back on those times when the Spirit has whispered God's truth into our hearts and those moments when we had just become a believer and everything in faith seemed perfect and full and strong, and we look back on those moments and we say, that was when God was close to me, and I know He's going to be close to me again. And so those memories brought back into our hearts by the Spirit can sustain us. As we look back on those times, God can help us through the difficult moments as well. And the Spirit can sustain us through doubt and fear and through those times of waiting for God to show up again. You see, Jesus came to Thomas and He showed him His hands and His side. He proved to Thomas in that moment that He was alive again. And now the Spirit comes to you and helps you to feel God's presence there with you, to know God's love is there. And the Spirit helps you to overcome doubt. And the Spirit renews your faith. And so we give God thanks and praise for that assurance that He's always with us, no matter what we feel inside our hearts. So let's give thanks to Him now. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we give You thanks for Thomas. We give You thanks for people of faith who surround us with not perfect faith, but enough faith to inspire us and encourage us. Lord, we thank You for Your Spirit that is always here with us, moving in our hearts. And Lord, during those times when it may be hard for us to feel Your presence, when it feels like it's a long time waiting for an answer to prayer, when maybe, Lord, we're just struggling, Lord, send Your Spirit to be near. Help us to turn to the truth of Your Word. And Lord, surround us again with brothers and sisters in faith who can speak encouraging words, who can believe for us until we're able to believe again. And Lord, we thank You for the assurance that You always are there with us. You never leave us. You never abandon us. And I pray that You'd help each one of us to walk in faith, to walk in that deep assurance and trust that You love us and that You're always with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.